This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, here we go on a Thursday live out at Kauffman Stadium, getting set for opening day 2025. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon, keeping us on the air, keeping the show afloat today, producing the show back in the studio. It is already pretty darn nice outside.
Yeah, a little light jacket
on, a little light hoodie in the morning, but it's already warming up. The wind isn't anything what we've had normally. I cannot wait till we get to a little after 3 o'clock today to kick off this season.
I needed Vinny to show up. He was driving into the stadium maybe 10 seconds later, because I would have just yelled, like, give me a thumbs up if you're playing. And then that way we could at least have made a decision about whether or not Vinny was going to be available or not for today. I know we'll find out that news here soon enough, as it seems like everything was heading in a good direction. All the reporting from Annie Rogers yesterday was that things were looking good. The field workouts have looked good. I think they're still going to evaluate him today, is what Q had said yesterday, so he might not even technically have that answer.
11:45.
Other than
Q's
the fact he might be the case.
Speak, so.
Yeah, so we'll get our firm answer there at some point. But you're right. It's opening day. We're outside the K, and we have had varied niceness of weather, various levels of good of team that we have sat out here for opening day during the duration of our show. They are coming off a playoff appearance, and it's supposed to be 80 today. This is as good as it gets for us, I think.
Yeah, man. No, it's awesome. We've already talked to some Royals fans. People got out here very early. Parking lot slowly going to fill up, but
yeah,
we had a nice couple stop by. I'm just saying, we might already be a Jell-O shot or two in to start the show.
Well, she brought, like,
a lot.
Three each for us, which feels, feels a bit intense,
some,
I'll say.
Some peach cobbler shot as well. We'll work through those throughout the show, but we're one or two.
A little different than the board,
I'll be honest.
You know?
She came up and offered them at, 8:45 in the morning?
Uh-huh.
It's like, well, okay. It was a nice gesture. What am I going to say? No?
I mean, it would be rude,
It'd be very rude. She said she listens to the show all the time, so we're a Jell-O shot or two in, never too early, I guess, on a Thursday.
Yeah, you know? you know, whatever. It's opening day. Essentially a national holiday, in my opinion. You know I love opening day, but absent the bunting. We don't have to get into that
there
in
is
the
some
early
bunting.
Part of the
there
show.
There is some bunting out there.
But look, the thing to like the most about this one is that I love going into a season. Look, seasons can end a lot of different ways. I at least like going into a season with real, honest to God, you should have it expectations.
Right.
And that's what this team has. They have real, honest to God expectations because they went to the playoffs last year. They came up short against the Yankees, and they know that. And I love the comments from Q and I think the Sam McDowell article about, hey, people kept congratulating me on a great season. I'm like, I didn't like hearing it because it wasn't what I inevitably wanted it to be. And I think that when you start looking at that, I love the attitude of the team, the expectations of the team, that we all think that they could win the division, win 90 games going into opening day. That's what excites me the most, is this is our first taste of what is a season with expectations.
Look, there has not been many opening days following up a winning season over the last 15 years.
You know how few times they've gone to the playoffs 2 years in a row in their franchise history? It's pretty small, man.
Yeah, and we all know what 14 and 15 meant. And, by the way, Lorenzo Cain going to be one of two individuals that are going to throw out the ceremonial first pitch as they're starting their campaign this year to celebrate the 10-year anniversary from 2015 and the 40-year anniversary already, my goodness, for Willie Wilson and the 85 team. So they'll both be throwing out the first pitch today if you're making your way out to Kauffman. But you're right. I mean, there's been very few years where you were able to go to opening day following up an unbelievable year and think that they can build on it. Now, nothing to build on after 15, right? Like, you won the championship, but you get what I'm saying. There's been year after year of low expectation going in. Not the case. This team won 86 games a year ago. They went out and clearly focused on getting guys that can help them get on base more, most notably Jonathan India, who is one of the best at getting on base in baseball. And right away, hopefully we see a professional at-bat, and he gets on base in his first at-bat today. That'd be awesome to set the tone for the entire season.
I wanted to take a walk right away.
Sure, that works.
Just a walk right away. That's what I do here, kids. Yeah, that's how I operate.
But, you know, we'll take your texts on this, too, 913-586-7965 on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. But fan expectation, I think to various degrees. You can be skeptical. I get it, right? Like, I think as Royals fans and growing up in the city, you have good reason to be skeptical. However, this team, what they did last year, I would hope, has softened the skepticism going into this season, knowing who Bobby Witt Jr. is. There's no debate anymore. He's a guy that's going to win an MVP award at some point in his career. I think it's going to be this year, as a matter of fact. I think so do you as well. And you have a couple guys on the mound beginning today with Cole Reagans, who, by the way, we spoke to yesterday, and you'll hear our conversation with Cole coming up at 10:30, who was towards the top five, top three in baseball and strikeouts. They have legit pieces, part of this franchise, to make you believe that they can raise the bar, and I think the bar should be raised for them, you know, and we can get into the exact win totals and stuff, but I think when spring training began and we started having Vern on, we were talking about expectation. For me, my expectation is go win the AL Central. That is my expectation. Look, making the playoffs, I'm not going to say it's a bad year. Of course not. But my expectation is that this team not only gets back to the playoffs, but they get an AL Central title back here in KC.
I think that should be the biggest goal of the entire season for them right now, right? I mean, that's how they got to think about it is last year we had to earn a right to get a home game in the wild card round. They knocked that out. They got a guaranteed home game back here in Kansas City. They got to be thinking, no, I want to be playing in the divisional round with games at home with a chance to do this on the baseball end. And I do not think that that's in any way crazy or out of the question or anything between. I was looking between, like, because I think the pessimistic fans do this. They do the, okay, I saw a team in 2003 once have a blip. And then they remember the 2004, 5, and 6 were the single three worst year stretch in this franchise's history. They've never been worse for three consecutive years than they were the year. And that team did have some things that the Royals had, right? Like a future Hall of Famer maybe in Carlos Beltran. A really good middle-of-the-order bat like Mike Sweeney. They had good offensive players. But here, do you remember the starting pitchers that year? They, out of their skis, Daryl May, Chris George, Runelvis Hernandez, Kyle Snyder, and Jose Lima.
Yeah,
The reason why you don't have to worry about this, like, big backslide. I'm not saying, like, the playoffs are given to you for free or it's easy and there's no questions. But the reason why you don't have to panic about, like, a second-year slide or the decline or these things happening is the rotation. Cole Reagans, Seth Lugo, Michael Wacha, and all the guys, and I have very high expectations for Chris Bubich this year, and so because he seems to be the second guy who emerged out of that class after Brady Singer.
Who do you think is the biggest swing player for this entire, good or bad,
for
this? Yeah, from a win perspective to winning the division, the guy that has to maybe swing his career in a different direction, or if it doesn't swing, that can
prevent
them. I think
it might be Bubich.
Chris Bubich is a strong name on the pitching end. So that's a good name. My mind was going more, of course, on the offensive side because of where they ranked out offensively. The obvious name, I think, from
MJ,
a hitting in standpoint, of course, MJ Melendez. For him individually, it's a big swing year. He knows it. Everybody knows it. For this team, if all of a sudden, it's a big if, but if the stance change and everything clicks for him, And he's not only going to give you the defense that now he gives you in left field, but if he can be the bat that you've hoped this entire time that he could be, I mean, that is where the division and bigger than that becomes in play. I mean, that's how high the ceiling still is, and I understand that at some point we got to stop saying, hey, he's young. We all understand this is the year for him to figure it out. If he doesn't, then we're having a completely different conversation about his career and where he is in the future. But this season, he's the biggest swing for this entire franchise. And I think you're right on the pitching. And Chris Bubich, I mean, later on in the year, I'm still interested to see what Kyle Wright could bring to the table if there's an injury for somebody else.
Or if Chris Bubich hits an inning limit and all of a sudden they need some extra help. That's the key, too, is that at some point Chris Bubich might not be able to go the total number of innings that we're talking about. I know we're going to talk about Cole Reagans here in a minute, and we're going to hear from Cole Reagans. Golden Eye caught up with him one-on-one or two-on-one, I guess, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah.
Yesterday, outside the clubhouse, as he gets ready to make an opening day start for the second straight year for the Royals. But let's get it out there. We know how this works. It's opening day. You and I, Drew, we have to make, and I hold you accountable. This is how it works on the text line. You get it in now. You don't get a claim you thought they were going to win 60 games in October if things go poor, and you don't get a claim you had them at 120 if it goes great. You got to make your predictions now. So where are we season win total-wise? I'm at 89.
Okay.
I thought about it for a long time. I was in the mid-90s for a little while. I was in the mid-80s for a little while. I truthfully think there probably is a pretty decent swing between 85 and 95 wins that this team is capable of. If you want me to be honest, I think it's probably firmly in that range. So I chose the middle at 89 wins. I think that that's enough to win the division this year. A lot of times in this division, 92, 91, that's about the number that gets it done. I think it's a little lower this year because I think these teams are in a deep, deep wash. One will fall off of the four that almost made the postseason last year because that's just life. I don't think that's the Royals. The White Sox are miserable. And I think 89, I think they win the AL Central at 89.
Ooh,
so I want to make that clear with my win total that I actually think that comes with an AL Central title.
So looking at the division and how the Royals factor in, I don't believe three teams are coming out of the Central again and making the postseason. I also think while the White Sox are going to be just horrific and probably still the worst team in baseball, I don't think they're only winning, 40 games or 41 games like they did a year ago. I think they're in the 52 to 56 range. So my point being is I don't know if the Royals and anybody else in the division is going to go, 14-1 or whatever it was.
No.
So there's a couple
of
wins there.
So everyone's numbers are coming back a little there, yeah.
But look, I have faith that even if you – my biggest question, honestly, is health and is there any regression with starting pitching? And if I say, okay, I think that's happening, well, then where are they making that up? Is it offense? Is it the bullpen? Is it both? Which one does it have to be? I'm very confident in this bullpen heading in. We're going to hear some comments from John Sherman in the 11 o'clock hour. In fact, we now are also told John Sherman's going to join us, the Royals chairman and CEO, at 11:30. And one thing he said yesterday was, like, they gave it the good old college try, right, to go get a big bat.
Yeah.
Instead, they said, well, we can bolster our bullpen. That's an area we're willing to go spend, too. And I think this bullpen is going to become a huge strength of this team. So if a guy like Lugo or Waka ends up sliding back a little bit, or just health gets them because they were so healthy last year, the bullpen, I think, can help make up for some of that. That's my thought process. I also believe Jonathan India getting on base changes everything for the top of the lineup. If he's the player we all believe he is, if he's the guy that the Royals believe he is, and if you just look at what he's been in his career, that certainly last year and even the year before that he is, well, all of a sudden he's getting on base. He sets the tone for Bobby. Look at the RBI numbers for him. The RBI numbers for Vinny can go up. Everything changes at the top of the order for this team. There's a little less pressure maybe on the three guys that really carried this team. Look, Bobby's going to have to still be that dude. But three guys really carried them. Can they get a fourth guy in the mix or a fifth guy in the mix? Long story short, I'm giving you a long answer. But my total, we're not far off. Last year, we all three of us on this show were within a win of each other. Now, we were all too low. I think I said 78. You might have said 77. And Drew might have said 76 or in some order, right? I don't remember the exact order. But we were 77, 78, 76, something like that.
Yeah.
This year, I'm at 90. So we have our social media video. I think Kramer will put it out if he hasn't put it out already. We went around. That was the total I gave on Monday. I thought about changing it. But 90-win season, which I do also, you said 89 gets it done. I think 90 gets it done to win the AL Central. And that's recognizing that, I'm not saying that there aren't questions, that there aren't flaws. Of course there are. There's a lot of questions we're going to have to figure out.
Pretty much everyone in the order, 5 through 9.
But the rest of the division, go by, you know, team by team, and tell me there aren't questions and flaws with the Guardians, who they're going to face off with today, and what they did or didn't do. The Twins, we know the injury history and everything that exists there. The Tigers did not get Alex Bregman. I think they got, of course, the best pitcher in baseball, at least in the American League, and Skubal right in the rotation, who's going to be a problem all year. But do they have enough elsewhere? Did that run at the end of the season for the Tigers, does that carry over, or do they just have a hell of a month and a half of baseball?
I think the India thing is the easiest thing I was trying to make a justification for somebody who was saying, hey, how is the offense better? They're just doing the same thing. They're just banking on Michael Massey or MJ Melendez or Hunter Renfroe or, you know, like even like the players that we don't think like an offensive explosion is coming from, like Kyle Isbell or Michael Garcia, but like they're just counting on the same guys to be better. I'm like, no, they're not. More than half of Bobby Witt Jr.'s last year home runs got hit with nobody on base because no one was ever on base ahead of him. Tommy Pham hit leadoff for this team last year.
Yep.
Michael Massey hit leadoff for this team last year. Yuli Gurriel hit cleanup for this team for a chunk last year. Are we just pretending like Jonathan India being on base 70 additional
times? It can
times
change the
somebody
entire
who
time.
Wasn't. I mean, it could make their – look, are they going to be a deep offense? No. Is the offense still coming from the top half? Yes. But does it make a massive difference of getting offense from the top half if the guy is getting on base 70, 80 additional times than the guy who did or the guys who were this season before? Absolutely, because – the one thing we know for certain, based on their entire Major League Baseball history, even if Vinny's is shorter than the other two, those three guys, Vinny, Salvi, and Bobby, they are run producers. They know how to make people score runs. And so if there's a guy who's on base, they'll get him home. That's been the thing they've been good at all of their Major League careers, Salvi included. Salvi's always been a good run producer.
It is more than fair to have high expectations for this team, to have high win totals for this team. Does it mean that that's going to be the case when it's all said and done? Who knows, right? But I think if you're just going with a very, very conservative total, that's based off of prior years of being hurt, not based off of where I believe this team actually is and where I also think the division is. Let's keep that in mind. Like, if they were in the AL East, I would have a different answer on their win total probably, but they're not. They're in the AL Central. These teams, what has made the Central really fun in the last calendar year, is these teams are all really close. They're all very similar in payroll for the most part,
yep.
And they're all in similar spots. And
they have different strengths and weaknesses, but they all have them.
And I'm looking at the text line. Like, we'll read through some of these. I think the highest number I've seen from anybody on the text line, somebody said they're winning 95. That is a very aggressive number.
Because the over-under is at 82.5.
82.5. Low. I think
that's low. Yeah.
I think it's – like, right now, if you gave me $100, I would be taking the over in a heartbeat, honestly, really. Like, in baseball, we all know injuries and everything can swing all of this. With every team, if your best player, your second best player, deals with an injury, that's going to change everything. But someone said 90 and 72, so they're right there. 87, I'm seeing a lot of 88s, a lot of 88s.
88, the most popular number, apparently.
I think so, based off the text line from a Royals win
perspective. That's a two-game improvement from last year, good enough to make the postseason.
The lowest, honestly, everybody's it's opening day, so everybody's feeling good. The lowest number I've seen on the text line is 87 right now. So
Okay. Everybody's
in a good mood, feeling great. Hopefully you're making your way out to Kauffman. And if you are, come on by. We're just to the left of Gate D, right by, if you know where like the players are walking in. Typically, that's where we are broadcasting live. Vern's going to take over at 2 o'clock today. It's time for On Deck season. No more hot stove season. We just saw Vern walk in. He had his game face on. He's ready to roll. He went back to the car again to grab something else. He's locked in. He's locked in and ready to go, man.
He's got stuff to do, man. He's got to go talk to Q. Go talk to the players. Get ready for the On Deck show, like you said, at 2 o'clock.
We got a full show. So Cole Reagans, we caught up with yesterday on opening day. That's coming up at 10:30. A little bit later on in the show today, we're going to be joined by Ryan Lefevre, Royals broadcaster, at 11:15. We're expected to have the Royals chairman and CEO, John Sherman, stop by at 11:30. The Royals GM and executive vice president, J.J. Piccolo, at 11:45. Brian Kinney of MLB Network going to give us a national perspective on the Royals and this division at 12:30. And then our guy, Josh Vernier, going to join us at 1 o'clock. So we are loaded on opening day here on 96.5 The Fan.
Yeah, we are busy, 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 which is a good thing. And then, obviously, right here on 96.5 The Fan, you'll hear Royals baseball. starting at 3 o'clock for the home opener. We are proud, if you guys missed it a couple days, multi-year extension, right?
That's right.
Going to keep hearing Royals baseball on that crystal clear FM. Still works over on the Sexton side, too. But, you know, crystal clear FM. Let's talk Cole Reagans for a minute, because when you say, hey, the team should have high expectations, I feel like you can say the exact same thing about Cole Reagans. Last year, he told Major League Baseball with his performance, I am an ace. I am one of the 10 best starters in Major League Baseball. He did it with strikeouts. He did it with ERA. The only thing, seemingly, he came up short on that department was innings, where he had some walk problems from time to time. He's actually going to talk about that. We had a conversation with him at 10:30, where that's like the thing I think he focused on the most this offseason from a pitching perspective. But, I mean, what I expect from him to be is a top 10 starter in Major League Baseball. We should talk about him in the same likes as Skubal and the other guys, Gold, who have dominated and dominated consistently across the board, and I view him that way. I expect him to compete for the Major League lead in strikeouts. I expect him to go 6-plus innings. I expect his team to win 70% of the time he starts a baseball game for them. I don't expect that at any other starter in the rotation. I expect Walker and Lugo to be good starters. I expect them to be really solid, do a nice job. But with Reagans, I expect the world.
Real quick, and I don't mean to change the subject, just briefly, I want to point out the Royals did just put out the lineup about a minute ago. Vinny Pasquantino in the lineup today, DHing. So for those wondering about Vinny, would he be in the lineup or not with the hamstring strain, a grade 1-plus strain, he gave it a go during workout day yesterday. The Royals just put out the lineup today. No other surprises in that, but Vinny will bat third as the DH. That means Salvi is still behind the dish. Your first baseman's going to be one of the newest Royals in Kevin Biggio.
Okay.
So he will be playing first base today. Of course, lineup always subject to change. Something can change before we get to first pitch. But that is the plan out in Vinny, our guy, in the lineup. We saw him. He was suited up, too. Some of the players in the sweats and stuff. He was suited up, blue suit, had like the ankles, you know, the ankles showing, no socks. He was ready to go today, feeling good that he's going to play. And we were wondering if he was going to give the thumbs up or not.
Honestly,
and the Royals just gave him a thumbs up, and he's in the lineup.
That's the best possible news, obviously, because the initial instinct is like when he pulls that hamstring in the last spring training game, you're like, no, not this. Come on. Don't let this happen to our guy, Vinny. He doesn't deserve it. But no, he's fine. He's playing in game one, which means he can still play 155 games this year. He gets an off day tomorrow, all the other normal stuff. And honestly, this is the most ringing endorsement of all time. Do you think if they were worried about it in any way, Gold, he'd be playing today?
Not with 162
games. 162 games to go. This isn't a playoff game. This isn't like coming back from the surgery. If they were worried about it at all, Vinny would not be in the lineup. They're obviously comfortable with it. They tested it out yesterday. He was in the field yesterday, too, by the way, playing first base. I told you it was a possibility he would just be DHing.
They could do that for a couple days to start the season.
Yeah, why not? Canna and Fermin and a couple of other guys. Salvi wants to be out behind the dish for opening day. Okay. You put Canna at first. He's another on-base guy, by the way, for a lineup that is looking to get on base. He's been better at getting on base than pretty much half the Royals lineup generally in his career. You know, they got a chance to finagle it, I think, a little bit with Vinny until, you know, if they have any random concerns.
Again, Biggio will be first base to play in first base today. Vinny DHing. Back to what you were saying about Cole Reagans, though. Sorry to change the topic. Just saw that come out. I know people on the text line were asking about if Vinny was going to play or not. But for Cole Reagans, yeah, I mean, it's about innings, and he wants to increase his innings limit again this year after last year. And yes, like any pitcher, cut down his walk rate. I mean, but this was a guy that for a bulk of the season was leading the big leagues in strikeouts. He ended up finishing just short
of
it was Skubal or Crochet was right there towards the top as well, but 223 was the strikeout number for Cole Reagans this past year. And he also said, look, ultimately, and you're going to hear the conversation, ultimately it's about winning games, right? No kidding. And, you know, we don't look at win-loss.
That comes from Bobby Down, you know?
We don't look at win-loss for pitchers the way we used to. Like, back in the day, you used to, like, really, I think, lean into pitchers' records overall. Now it's not as much about that, the way managers utilize starting pitchers. But he was a game above 500 last year. But I would argue he pitched better than his record. That's why you shouldn't buy into the record too much. If I were to tell you Cole Reagans was 18-17, I think a lot of fans would have said, well, he pitched better than an 18-17 record. But that was his record. So you got to dive deeper into it than just looking at wins and losses.
Yeah, 223 strikeouts, as you mentioned, 228.
Five off.
Leader.
Okay.
Of Tarik Skubal. Technically, there were three guys ahead of him, Sale, Wheeler, and Cease, but they were like strikeout ahead of him. I know he wants to go deeper into games, and he doesn't want to, like, get worried about those innings counts. I mean, he was still top 20 in baseball in innings pitched. No, better than that, even. I mean, he was still in the top 15 in innings pitched in baseball last year. He ranked 12th They also had Seth Lugo, who ranked second. That was such a key for them. Imagine how many more.
11-9, by the way, was the record. Yeah, sorry.
Just forget for a minute, like, what he was able to do on that. And could you imagine how, like, they wouldn't have made the postseason if they didn't have Lugo and Reagans going as deep into games as they did.
Yeah.
Because the bullpen was dicey at best for a huge chunk of the season. Certainly got better once they made the deal for Urseg, but it was still questionable after that. They had started with MacArthur as a closer. They had moved these things around. It just was not a perfect system for a long time. And like you said, I highly anticipate that being a massive improvement this year. That's going to be the single biggest improvement you notice this year on their roster.
So what
do they do in the bullpen?
186 and a third inning last year for Cole Reagans.
190.
You think 190 range or so?
Yeah. If he goes 190, he might lead baseball in strikeouts. Because strikeouts per inning, he probably was tops in baseball. If you think about the guys who were ahead of him, Crochet pitched a few more innings than him. Some of the guys pitched a few more innings.
Some of it was how the season ended with the Royals playoff push in the hunt and trying to line it up.
Yeah, he didn't make a final start, too.
That was the thing. We were joking because we had a season-long bet at 80-1, I think it was, on Reagans to lead the big leagues. The fact that the Royals had locked up that playoff spot a couple days early.
I'll take the trade-off.
I know.
Forget the money.
Yeah. No, I hear you, but that's exactly why it went down the way it did.
I'm seeing an Urseg and Lugo jersey right now. Boy, they jumped on the bandwagon quick.
Fans did.
They said, these guys are winners, and they're taking us to the postseason.
Hey.
I'm throwing on an Urseg, and I'm throwing on a Lugo jersey. They were walking together.
And those are two of the biggest reasons on the pitching side why this team was able to get to the postseason. But, yeah, sorry, I missed that on the record. 11-9 last year was his record, my bad. I was looking at a different column on that. But Cole Reagans, of course, gets it going today. Let us know also what you're on today as far as what you think the performance is going to look like. Somebody already texted in. They said seven or more strikeouts, a video that might be out there for best bets we did this morning. Cole Reagans' alternative strikeouts, seven or more today. I mean, that's on par for what he was capable of doing much of last season. We are broadcasting live outside of Kauffman Stadium. It is opening day 2025. Up next, we had a chance to catch up with Cole Reagans, hear his thoughts on this upcoming season, and let's go through some of our season-long bets that you guys have as well right here on 96.5 The Fan. Back here on Cody and Gold, we continue broadcasting live outside Kauffman Stadium, right around Gate D. Come on by, we've got our big 96.5 The Fan 10 getting set for opening day 2025. It is finally here, all the talk throughout spring training. None of that really matters anymore. It all is about today against the Cleveland Guardians. Cole Reagans gets the nod, his second opening day start. We'll keep an eye also on what maybe Matt Quatrero says a little bit later on in the show. But if you're just joining us and you're wondering maybe the question of the day, Vinny Pasquantino, is he going to play or not? He is in the lineup as the designated hitter this afternoon. That is the plan for game one of 162. Coming up at 11:15, Ryan LaFever, one of the voices of the Royals, going to join us. We'll also have J.J. Piccolo in the 11 o'clock hour, as well as the chairman and CEO of the Kansas City Royals, John Sherman, around 11:30. But he came out to workout day. It was open to the public. Hopefully, if you didn't make it to opening day, you made it to that. And
so Bobby making some kids' dreams come true.
He did, and I will say, we know they've got the alternative jerseys they're going to have this year. During the workout, they were wearing the retro caps.
Yeah.
Those look so good.
I saw Vinny in one yesterday.
Good.
I love
they're
that
great
look.
I'm sure the team store, you can go and get one if you're wanting. Those things looked awesome. They will not be wearing those every game or anything like that, but that was something they brought out for the workout day. But you and I also caught up with today's opening day starter, Cole Reagans, and we got a chance to find out how he is thinking heading into another 2025 season. All right, we're joined here on opening day by Royals opening day starter Cole Reagans on 96.5 The Fan. So before we get into some of the opening day festivities a little bit, I know you guys were just down in Arlington, and I saw that the team went to Six Flags. I don't know, are you the roller coaster guy, or is that somebody else?
I am not a roller coaster guy. I mean, I hate flying, so a roller coaster is just not my thing. I think I went golfing instead of roller coastering because I've never liked roller coasters. I'd just sit there and watch. I'm scared of them.
I don't like heights. Is it heights in general? Because I'm terrible. They give me a hard time. I can't. Even at Kauffman now, like upstairs, it's struggle.
Heights and the spinning around upside down, I'd throw up.
Have you considered you don't have a great job for I hate flying? That sentence. You know how often you fly as a big league player.
Yeah, I know. There's like three or four of us that we just look at each other when it starts getting bumpy and are just like, golly, cover my face and you know, wait for it to stop.
Who's the guy on the team that I guess maybe just acts like a little kid on the roller coaster? I know you weren't there this go around. You say we're golfing, but in general.
I'm trying to think who loves, like, roller coasters.
Pretty much we're asking who's the biggest kid, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I saw Mac was screaming like a little girl on there one time, so definitely not him. But I don't know, honestly.
I know, like, it's still so early in your big league career. Like, how much does it still, like, the opening day part of it, right? I'm the opening day starter for the beginning of the baseball season for the Royals. How much does that still hit you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's I don't even know if I have words, you know? It's exciting. Still get the nerves just as much as ever. Like you said, I mean, I haven't been up that long, but opening day is always exciting. I mean, even watching the guys that have been around for, you know, 10 plus years, they're, you know, super excited just like the rest of us. It's, you know, I don't think it'll ever change. It's super exciting. I'm looking forward to it. You know, just to see this place packed obviously gets you, you know, gives you the jitters just seeing all the fans, you know, for the first time again. It's super exciting.
You said the jitters. So, I mean, do you still get that on an opening day?
I get that every day. Every time I pitch, I'm a very nervous guy, you know, hard to eat, hard to keep food down. You know, it's I go through it whether it's start one or start 33. You know, it doesn't matter. I'm always nervous.
I guess like to that point a little bit, like there was a whole big spring training storyline of like you got hit kind of hard in a spring training game. It's like, nah, I don't like that. Like maybe the words like it pisses me off still, right? Like to be bad in a spring training game, like. Does the nervousness come from the competitive part, or like, how do you think that works for you? Training game, you don't like having bad outings, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you always hear, "Oh, it's spring training. Don't pay attention to spring training numbers." And there's a you know, a part to that, but overall, you know, you still don't want to go out there and suck. So yeah, I mean, I still get pissed off about it. But no, I mean, just I think it's more of like I get nervous because it's you want to do so good. Like it's a thing where it's like, you know, I've prepared for this. I've worked hard for this. I've done my notes. I've done my homework. I know what I need to go out there and do and execute. But it's baseball. Sometimes you execute a really good pitch and it gets hammered. So it's one of those things where it's just kind of like, you know, you just get nervous for what's to come. And you know, some days it's a good day and some days it's not. And you know, once I get out there, once I get on the mound, it's gone. It's like, you know, now I'm locked in, I'm ready to go. But you know, leading up to it, I've got some nerves, stomachs, you know, churning and all that.
We're talking to Royals opening day starter Cole Reagans here at 96.5 The Fan. Do you approach this season any differently? Last year, you obviously, your goal was to get to the postseason. You ended up pitching a lot more innings because of that. You go into this with the mindset of like almost expecting that you're going to have to pitch in October?
100%. That's definitely an expectation. That's our goal. Make it farther, you know, end goals to win it all. You know, that's what we work for in the off season. It's spring training, preparing for, and you know, throughout the season, every game matters. So yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say there's some little things that I've been working on, you know, like cutting walks down, stuff like that to get deeper into games and, you know, little things like that. But the overall goal is the same. You know, I'm trying to go out there and compete and win. That's my main goal, is to win. I don't care how I get there. I don't care how I do it, but to win, that's all that matters.
Was it nice to, like, you didn't know how the offseason was going to go, to end up with, like, you, Walker, and Lugo back together? I know you got other guys in there too, but, like, to get the core part of the rotation that was there last year, to have that, like, back and that, I don't know, camaraderie and all the stuff you guys are kind of used to.
Yeah, I mean, we're a pretty close-knit team. We do a lot of things outside of the field, but, you know, us starting pitchers, we talk a lot. We talk a lot in games, you know, that kind of stuff. So, obviously, Lugo was coming back, but to get Waka back was huge. He's a big part, you know, on the field, off the field. He's, you know, one of the best teammates you'll ever have. Just unbelievable. Obviously, what he did for us on the field last year was you know, unbelievable. Had an unreal year. You know, big part. We wouldn't have, you know, made it as far as we did without him. But what he does behind the scenes that people, and you know, don't really see is you know, just as important and just as big. He's just a, you know, he's one of our leaders.
You so like, I just like the way you guys describe it. The note taking part, like that's been the thing for you, right? I take all the notes. Is it? It's not falling into group work, right? Do they copying your notes? How does it work?
No,
how does the collaborative part of this work?
Yeah, so you know? I mean, like, everybody's got a different way. Like, you know, Lugo can remember stuff like no one I've ever seen before. Like, he's a very visual guy, and just can remember stuff like, he'll remember facing a guy from like 2 years ago and remember what he did. And it's like by pitch by pitch. And so we all have, you know, our different way of going about it. But then when we brainstorm, we come to the same agreement on how to pitch a guy for the most part. But we brainstorm. Those guys have done this for a while. And so it's like me asking them questions like, what do you, you know, we'll be sitting in the dugout. So let's say Waka's throwing, me and Lugo are sitting there and, you know, the other starters. And it's, hey, what are you throwing here? What would you throw here? Even though we don't have like, he's more of a spin guy than I am. But, you know, just, it's a, he's like, I'd go here because he just went here. And it's just like kind of, you know, brainstorming with each other. But like on start days, you know, we meet with Sal and Freddie and Sweeney and go over it. And, you know, Sweeney's done his homework. Sal and Freddie have done theirs and we've done ours. And it's, you know, 3-4 minds coming together. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, oh, I saw this. What do you got on this? And it's like, oh, actually, you know, I like that. Or I see this. This is why I wouldn't do that. Or, you know, little things like that. So.
Lastly, you mentioned the note-taking, and I don't know if this goals is something that you keep internal and don't share, but do you have some individual goals here for the season? There are things that, you wanted 223 strikeouts last year, so you were pretty close to the top of the league already in that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously the more innings, the better, so that thing. But, I mean, my biggest goal is to win. As many wins as I can possibly help this team get is my main goal. Like I said earlier, however I can do that, whatever I have to do, you know, is what I'll do. But I just want to win. That's all that matters.
So that was our conversation with Cole Reagans yesterday here at Kauffman Stadium ahead of the 2025 season. Beginning there, he joked around. He doesn't like heights either, man. I'm right there with you.
But you don't hate flying. No, you don't seem to have any issue flying.
We've flown on flights together and stuff. Yeah, I don't have a problem flying. It's different for me on a flight, but I'm with him on the roller coaster. I've never, like as a kid as well, I'm definitely on a roller coaster guy.
You're probably only getting worse.
Well, and I haven't tried to go on one in years.
So you don't want to rappel off of Arrowhead with him? Come on, man. Well, look,
no
we
chance.
Just went like,
I know,
like
I see
right
it.
Off
I
the
see
side. It.
It
was like right there mm-hmm. at the top spot.
No,
you know?
No chance. No.
It was fine.
No. And I look,
it took
I,
like 2 seconds. Drew, you can come with me. It's easy.
I've already said I'm not rappelling. I'd rather skydive than rappel down Arrowhead.
I still don't understand why that feels different.
I'm with Drew on that aspect of like the skydive, at least. In you're gonna, what do they call it? You have
tandem.
Tandem, thank you.
Yeah,
you have tandem skydiving.
I want to go by myself though. You know,
I think you can't do that the first time.
You
right?
can, I think, but they got an instant pull to shoot.
Okay.
So like you can't free fall, that's part of the cool part about skydiving.
And
obviously,
the tandem thing is like the other person they can jump and like force like almost you need to shove me out of the plane. Like here's the thing. I think once we're doing it, I'm good. I really believe that. But the door of the plane opens, and it's usually like an old raggedy plane you're on these things. Because my old co-host in a
little
in
a, Cessna,
did it.
Little
yeah,
four seater.
He said he was more nervous about the plane they were on than he was like better to jump out.
You know what? Actually, I feel safer if I'm plummeting to the ground.
But,
that sounds better.
So
than
we now know Cole Reagan's not a fan of heights either. But as far as him this season, like you asked him about having the rotation pretty much. The first three guys, the core of the rotation back, and we know there were numerous stories throughout the 2024 season of how close that group was, how much each player leaned on the other, and really, like he said, hey, we're all different. Lugo's going to lean more, he spins the ball more, but like, hey, you get another brain thinking about how to approach a certain situation, a certain player, you know, and all that, and it truly betters the rotation,
yeah,
and now
the
they're with each other.
Incredible.
You know, Waka, Lugo, and Reagan's all back together again.
Yeah, the way in which they've worked collaboratively this last year, it's impressive. And it's like, some of it's a joke, right? Like, they're all standing over there, huddled together. But essentially, they're just standing next to each other in the dugout the entire time and then just doing the guessing game, which is, hey, what would you throw to him? What would you throw here? What pitch is there? How would you attack? What location? Right? And again, it's not that they don't have different reps, but like, you can't figure out a way to do it. And obviously, it worked last year, so there's no reason to look at it any different. They had one of the better rotations in baseball. Certainly one of the best, 1-3 last year. This year, there are more questions, I will say, 4-5 than even last year. Because last year, Brady Singer's a solid. That's a solid 4, right?
You know roughly
what you're getting. Chris Bubich is coming off a serious injury. Look dominant, but we don't know. And it's like, you know, there are some questions there. And like, are they going to use Martian right later? You know, there's more questions than before. Lorenzen's a nice solid five option. I'm not complaining or anything, but
yeah, more questions. But I do think they potentially have more options if that doesn't
work.
I don't know if they're the solution. That's also a question. But if, whether it's injury or performance, Bubic or Lorenzen, as you brought up, don't meet the expectation that you need out of a 4 and 5 starter. Remember, the 4 or 5 starter, you're not asking them to go do anything out of the, you know, extreme.
Keep you in the baseball game. Yep. Don't lose it, pretty much.
You love for Chris Bubic to turn into something bigger than that. But if one of those guys doesn't meet the expectation for those spots of the rotation, eventually, could a Kyle Wright factor in? Is Daniel Lynch just a bullpen guy now, or would they ever consider moving him back in? I mean, there's even some guys, you know, that are going to maybe factor in later on the season, guys like Noah Cameron, et cetera, if needed, right? If needed. You hope that everything just goes as planned, but pretty rare that a team, the Royals were that rare team last year, where your starting five in your rotation is your rotation. That's a pretty rare thing.
Yeah, it is. But also, like, that's the advantage that they've been taking place.
Multiple people saying they will do the rappelling with you, Cody, at Arrowhead. I believe.
See,
you
there's
can,
lots
you can,
of people.
You
don't,
you for know? That thing, you'll have more details. You can donate money, I believe, to do that.
Yeah, you can for sure. But like, I don't know. Like, they sometimes let me like bring someone along with me or whatever. Since you guys are too scared, I guess. I don't know.
Well, the big boss knows not to ask me.
No, didn't even bother. I've already been pre-asked, even though they're not technically taking people yet.
Last year, same thing. Last year, same thing. She knows I don't like heights. Everybody knows. So there's no chance I'm rappelling off of Arrowhead or Kauffman Stadium. Nope, can't do it. It's not that I wouldn't love to do it. I just can't. It's not a possibility, man. And Drew, it sounds like, is in the same boat. So is Cole Reagans, it sounds like, in the same boat as well. All right, what about the bigger picture? We gave you our win total and everything, but some of you have been tweeting.
You should loudly say how you think the Guardians are not winning the division right now.
As they're walking by.
I mean, so overrated.
Exactly. So that would be, they just looked over there.
Like, they definitely looked at me when I said that.
Well, Carlos Santana.
I wasn't talking about you individually, sir.
Yeah, Carlos Santana definitely walked by. So a lot of you were texting in your season bets for the Royals. So you can do win total over under 82.5. Give me your season-long bets you guys like. Look, it sucks to wait 6 months to cash the ticket.
Sometimes,
and it stinks to go with the favorite typically, but so I have 3 season-long bets that I have placed. Now, we're in Missouri now, so I can't even add to this. Unfortunately, what I have locked in is locked in for the season. Now, I can still bet on the MVP throughout the year, but right now...
Or we can make an underdog lineup later if we want some action on the game.
Well, so for the game, we can get to our game bet today. Yeah. We do have one a little bit later on, but MVP... 3.5 to 1. Depending on the book, you could have got a better number. But FanDuel, I think it's plus 300 for Bobby Wood Jr. to win MVP. It's not a long shot bet, but that's a bet that I have locked in. I do have a fun one for the Royals, 90 or more wins. You can get alternative number on that.
Sure.
And based on the number we just gave earlier, obviously I think they're going to win 90. So 90 or more is a bet that I have. The one that is the most long shot bet of all long shots, and it requires health, it requires everything to go great, and that is going to be Bobby Wood Jr., to hit above 40 home runs. And I believe the number I got on that was 3.5 to 1. So those would be the 3 bets that are locked in that you can still bet if you're on the Kansas side right now. There's some offshore ones that people brought up. We can't bet those here legally in the United States.
No, so there are some,
I was looking for the Vinny over 18.5 home run bet.
But you got to go offshore. Same with Michael Massey. His was 13.5 offshore, a number I really, really liked. So that's one of them that I have, but it's, I would think about getting, if we were allowed to do that legally for a lot of other reasons.
Do you have a season long bet you like?
Yeah, I do. Bobby Wood Jr. to lead the American, or to lead all of baseball in batting average.
All of baseball.
All of baseball in batting
average.
What's
that payout?
It was like 5 to 1.
Okay.
And so because he was right near the top, he led the league last year, but they're still giving you decent odds on it to go with it. The long shot bet I ended up doing that you could do legally was Vinny to lead the league in RBI. 144 was the leader, and it was 15 to 1. 144 was the number last year for Aaron Judge. 130 was the second highest number. Vinny Pasquantino at the time of his injury was pacing at like 115. Now with India on base and these other guys gold, I don't think it's as crazy. I'm hoping it's still on the board. I had gotten it maybe like
no, I'm showing you. So I had a free bonus bet. Look at this. It's on my phone. Look at the bet. We're on the same page.
Vinny Pasquantino to be the season leader in RBI.
That's the bet. It was a bonus bet, so it's a small bet. It was 50-1 at a different book.
I think it was like 30. Maybe when I placed it was 30. Maybe I was saying 15. I think it was like 35 plus 15. Or maybe it was 150-1. Now I'm trying to remember exactly what I got it. I'll have to pull it back up.
Yeah, you're good.
But it was a long shot. Think about the number, gold. Like, he was pacing to be about 15 behind second place. Aaron Judge's RBIs are going to go down.
Yes.
Right? So, like, just logically, I think Vinny's have got to go up just as long as he plays, especially if India in front of him. I know it's a long shot.
To win that, it's 50-1 for a reason. He's 50-1 for a reason. It requires him probably playing 150-plus. The good news, again, if you're just joining us for the first time today, he's in the lineup today. So he's not missing game one of one. He is in the lineup as a designated hitter. A couple of you on the text line, 913-586-7965. Someone says six or more. Oh, this is a today bet. We're talking season. But
let's hear it today. One more thing.
Six-plus strikeouts for Cole Reagans, payout plus 525. What do you have it coupled with? We did this earlier.
Yeah, plus 525.
That's a great value because we had the Royals parlayed minus 130 to win today with Cole Reagans over seven strikeouts, and we were only getting plus 253 or something. So if you got it at 525, what else do you have it parlayed with?
Was somebody else hit that dinger?
Yeah, it's a great number.
Who's hitting homer today, by the way?
Let's do that later.
I do love later today we talk about it. It's just like I love betting a first game homer bet.
Yeah, let's do that a little bit later on. Someone says Bobby, Salvi, Vinny to each record over 80 RBI plus 241. So over 80 for
plus
Bobby.
Plus money.
Salvi, Vinny. I don't hate it.
They would have all cashed that by August 1st last year.
They would have. You're always taking the injury risk with any of those kind of bets.
Yeah, but Salvi and Vinny probably more specifically. Salvi because his age. Vinny because he's been a little more injured.
Barring a long injury,
that seems like a pretty good plus money bet.
Yeah, you got to wait 6 months to get plus 241.
No, but plus 241 might be what I get him just to take. You know, I can't get that for just their win total.
Fair.
I might cash that bet sooner. And I might not have to wait 162 games in order to do it. Although those season-long bets, a lot of times, they do make you wait till the end of the year to cash it. You just know that the money's good coming out of there. Where are they moving this giant arch?
It looks like what would be the entrance for some activation. But there's your bunting, Cody. You happy? They're wheeling day Royals bunting.
It should be everywhere outside the stadium, filling up the space, making it feel good, making it feel like opening day. How many opening days I have been to?
Oh, how many opening days I've been to?
I have been to
You've been to more than me.
I've been to like 10 straight. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
I've been to like 10 straight. You know what? I even went to opening day during COVID. It was only media. I sat here for the first game the Royals played at home during COVID with like 25 other people. It was depressing.
Yeah, I still have a photo of that.
Did you went to that too?
I don't know if it was opening day. It was. I have the photo of like when everybody was, of course, having to be separate, you know, spaced out and wearing a mask.
Wasn't even allowed to be in the same row. No, it wasn't even press box. This one, the
makeshift press box.
I was like, they put it in like the diamond
As far as how many opening days, I mean, shoot, since we've been back, or since I've been back in Kansas City, this is number five just since we've been back. Yeah. And then prior to that as a kid, I don't know, I've probably been to like 12 total because as a kid, I would go. That was one of those, and we just talked to a kid out here that he got out of school today so he could come to opening day. We've all been there before. If you're not on spring break and, you know, maybe your parents take you to opening day today out of Kauffman Stadium. It should be nice weather. I know somebody texted in and said, hey, be careful about the storm. Hopefully we're all right. There's a chance that a little storm could come through for like 10 minutes while we're on the air, but I think we're going to be all right. I appreciate everybody looking out. I think we're going to be just fine. Someone also reminding us that they hope to see us tomorrow. That's right, tomorrow. Hollywood Casino as well. Vern's got his round table. We'll be talking to Michael Massey, Kyle Isbell. Hollywood Casino at 6 o'clock tomorrow, plus a meet and greet afterwards. Everybody from 96.5, the fan's going to be out there. A few people have continued to ask about an age requirement. It is a casino, so it is 21 or older. So if you're someone that's not 21, keep that in mind.
Come out, have a good time, enjoy the time at Hollywood Casino. Love to meet everybody out there. Get as many listeners out there for that roundtable as well. Plus, Vern will ask, I'm sure, a lot of pointed questions, you know?
No doubt. All right, up next, we're going to hear what John Sherman said yesterday about how they pursued a bat in the offseason. Talk more about that. Plus, Ryan Lefevre, Royals broadcaster, going to join us at 11:15. And still to come today, the owner and chairman of the Royals, John Sherman, plus J.J. Piccolo, all in the 11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold.